Hallelujah, Lord God. Father, indeed, O Lord, we call you Abba, our Father, who art in heaven. Holy is your name, O God. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we worship you and we praise you today and forevermore, O God, for you are worthy. You are worthy, Almighty God. And we thank you, Lord, as we honor the fathers of this earth, Lord God. We look upon one perfect and holy Father, and we call him Abba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for you have given us, Lord God, the privilege to call you our own Father. We always look up unto you. You are the only one we need, oh God. And Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity once again, Lord, to come together in your presence, to worship you, to lift up your name, and to honor you this day. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all be seated. Good morning, Windalas. How are you today? Praise God. As we continue to stay in the presence of the Lord, I pray that you guys have had a wonderful week. While we are passing the basket, as we offer him our tithes and offering, I just want to share with you one thing. The recharge yesterday, it was a wonderful moment. Amen? Yeah, so beware, because the men of this church has been recharged. Amen? Just like what Brother Lloyd has shared last night. I've been calling him pastor since last night. What he shared last night was just amazing, you know. And we did learn a lot. And I encourage the men to really stand up. Not to stand up now, but to really stand up and be a man. You know, man up in the house and be a good father for your kids. And your wife, as a spouse, of course, not as a father. So let's pray for our tithes and offering. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you so much for all the blessings you have showered upon us, oh Lord. Father, we acknowledge you, Lord God. Apart from you, we have nothing. All things come from you. And we honor you today through our tithes and offering and our love gifts, oh God. We know, Lord God, you don't need this. But we know, Lord God, that you will use this, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom. Because that is your command for us, to go and share the good news, baptizing everyone in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, Father, as we do this command, that you have given us. Strengthen us, each and every one of us, O Lord God. Strengthen this church, O God. Bind this church together in harmony and love, Lord, and in unity, that we may be able to be a light of this world, O Lord, in our own sphere of influence, O God. Be a light, O Lord God, for everyone else to see who we are in you, because we depend upon you as our Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to give the mic to Pastor Lucian.
Thanks.
I know he's recharged.
Yeah. Hang on. Oops.
Preach.
Actually, I don't want to preach. You know, it was great stuff that we learned. I wish all the men could have gone, in all honesty. I got to be first and honest. I thought this one church visit,
one community
church. Okay, what I'm about to say, don't take it wrong, but I thought it was a white church. When I went there, it was all black church. big black guys. Oh, one guy must have been at least 6'11", and he walked like a giant. And because as I was watching him, I said, "Wait, watch your head, man." I love the group because when I finished college at a Bible school, I actually had the opportunity. A friend of mine, my best friend, actually, I don't know if he is now because I haven't talked to him much. He's a black friend. I was his best man. And I taught in his school. Loved the school. I really do. And totally different environment. If you guys have ever been in a black church, totally different. Really different. It's very upbeat. And I love when they come up and every single time the men would go, "Hey, let's do a slap. High five." We do a high five. And I was telling my wife, there were times that they would say something about the wives. And they would say, "It's okay to clap." Because they said some really good things that the wives may not have approved of. But the fact is that we love their wives. Every one of them, you know, they struggle. They love their wives. They want to do better. And I love that. I really love the atmosphere. Like I told you, I love hearing men sing. It's one of my favorite things to do, is to hear a bunch of men singing to God. It's great that we have a bunch of young people up here, girls singing and glorifying God, but at the same time, it's great to hear men singing. And I want to tell you, it was a great challenge. Your dad is here?
Yeah.
Okay. Oni and I was there on Friday night, and unfortunately, Pastor Lloyd, if you wanted to talk about that, and Ed didn't get a chance to go. So there was this one part, and I'm going to make this very brief, but to the point. There was this one part. It was a part about your vision as a family. And there's a story of this man who's been married for a while, but the one thing that spoke very clearly and very loud to me is have you guys ever done a 4x4 100 meter dash? Have you ever seen that? Have you guys ever seen that in Olympics? 4x4 is actually a mad dash of four guys. And you know those that the track, they run and they pass the baton. And so the very first instance of his baton he demonstrated was, I'm going to get Oni to talk about it. The very first Olympic one that he showed us was that these United States, you know, United States is always the top in running track. So they're running as fast as they can. First guy, the United States, the guy passed it beautifully. They handed it off and he ran. The second guy was running as they were running. The guy was about to pass the baton and they were running together. And what happens? They dropped it. No matter what happened from that point on, the fourth guy could still be running, but the option of the game is to do what? Is to get that baton to cross the finish line. Regardless if all four of them crossed the finish line, it wouldn't have mattered because the baton was the key of winning that particular race. Similarly, as I had the opportunity, I was thinking about this because I was so overjoyed, I got to be honest, or convicted, not overjoyed. I was convicted because I had to share that to my daughter. And I wanted to ask her, if I've been successful. You see, it's hard when you're looking at them. And if I want to pass, and you say, you know, you look at me and hey, you know what, you teach and you lead. But it doesn't matter if you're not doing it to your own family. And I know what kind of father I am. I know. You know, I mean, we could actually cover it by having this little world called home. And in our home, we tend to keep to our little world. And nobody knows anything of what's going on outside these four walls. And we cover it up so well. But at the end of the day, when we come across that finish line and when we're passing that baton, I wonder how many of us fathers really consider that as an important part of our lives when we're thinking about what is that baton. And I want you to know that baton is Christ. It isn't about success. It isn't. Because nobody in their family, nobody has ever asked, hey, you know what? What is it? You had more money. You had success. You gave them every single item. And then at the end of the day, they look at that heritage. And then what is the heritage? It's really one thing and one thing alone. And it convicted me. And that is Christ. I got to be honest with you. I want to be honest completely here. And it's not happening here. At least for me. It's not. What we're doing is we're hoping as men, we're hoping that the church is doing their job. We're hoping that. That's why we bring them to the church or to the youth group in hoping that somewhere down that line, we're trying to say, Pastor Lucian, Pastor Ed, I'm giving you the sole responsibility for my children so that you can pass the baton to them. But in reality, we only have, if you look at it, we only have 1 hour, possibly 5 hours out of the whole entire week. And so I'm sharing this with you because I know this is where I'm at. And I spend a great deal of time with my daughter. Even last night as I was sharing with her, I asked her, am I passing the baton? And so when I said that to her, the next thing is I told her when I'm passing the baton, the great thing about the person, when they pass that baton to the other person, they don't become standbys. Do you know what that person who just passed the baton to the other is doing? You guys know? What do you think that person in the back? He just passed the baton to the other individual. What is that person who just passed the baton? What do you think they're doing? They're cheering them on. They're saying, keep going. Keep pursuing. Keep going. We are behind you. We want to be there for you. We want you to be successful. And I got to be honest, I look at our young kids, our young people, not young kids, young men and young women. I got to ask you parents, especially the fathers today, are you passing the baton? Or are you giving it to somebody else to pass the baton? Or are you there to cheer them on? Or are you there to condemn them? To hurt them? Are you there to do that? And so the theme of my message is mentoring men. Mentoring men. Men. I love with it. I've been in enough of these men's recharge. The real question comes back to is as it falls on you. I want to be honest with you boys. I got to know your dad a little better. I did. Especially, so I'm going to pick out things today because I want this to be something that you could walk away because of our responsibility as men. Well, I got to know only a little bit better where his heart is, what his desire is, and where he wants to go. But there's one thing that I could see him excited about. And can I be honest with you guys? We're not perfect. You probably already know that. You do. I mean, the way we live signifies that. And we want to do better. We do. We actually really want to do better for you. We want that so much more than you could ever think about. We want to be better fathers, better spouses. We do. And so when I was watching him, and only I don't want to put him in a spot, but this is what I saw, my observation about him, is that when we both separated after seeing the vision for the family, he went to his way and I went my way, but he came back and we actually were there until 10 o'clock. I think I saw your car, man. Are you sure I left earlier than you? Because I saw your car and I said, man, Oni's still here. Okay, great. I think that's great. But the one thing that when we came back, he shared with me about a young man, and he said this. He went to the young people. Do you remember the one with the young people, the young pastor? What's his? Yeah, but what was his topic?
About teens is just a phase.
Teenagers is just a phase. And I saw his excitement for it because I want you to know, guys, he's trying to learn. You hear that? We as fathers don't have it all. Even when I'm at the age of 54, I don't have it all. He's gotten involved with this guy. I love that. I love that he reached out to this young man, and this young man is trying to talk to him about teenage mentality, minds, and how they approach things, and he wants to be a better father. I love that. I love that. That's what mentoring is all about. And that's why in Titus chapter 2, we're going to break this down a bit. And I want you to kind of follow along with me. And I'm going to interject some of the things in there from what I've learned in this recharge. Not to keep reinforcing it, but there are some things that I want you to think about. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me. So number one, do not look at your iPhones. Do not look at that. I want you to totally focus on me today. I don't care what you have. I don't care how urgent. In fact, I am being very adamant, even with my wife, that when I'm talking to her, and I think you guys should really recognize this, I wonder how many of you, when you're talking, you're always like this. And then I said to her, Annie, can you just give me your attention? She goes, no, I have you. I got your attention. I'm listening to you. But no, you're not. Because when you're on the phone and you're concentrating looking at this, and I love my wife. I said, when you're looking at this, you're telling me I'm not worthy of what you're about to say. And she goes, don't worry, I'm still paying attention. Here's what you said. I said, okay, you heard what I said, but I want an eye-to-eye conversation with you today. And then I told her, there is nothing more important that could be possibly important to you that a little ping, you look at that on Facebook because somebody is trying to get your attention or an email has come about and you need to that second respond to it. Do you know what that is? Have you ever seen Maslow's dog, that theory? That the dog theory where he fed the dog and then he would ring the bell and he does this process to the point where he rang the bell and there was no food, but the dog was salivating. Thank you. Salivating. Apple, Samsung, and Microsoft has gotten you to train that way already. Bing! Oh,
I gotta get that.
You do. All of you are done like that. I look at you guys, and every single time, I actually try to keep away from work. I only check my work maybe once an hour on an email if it's that important. But all of you salivate. You go, I gotta get it. I gotta get that latest and greatest information. So please, for the very first time, I'm asking you for 1.5 hour to not do it. I know you're going to go through withdrawals. I know you're going to run and bang yourself against the walls. But please, give me 1.5 hour. And as I think about mentoring, as I think about this part, it's so important because one of the things that I have asked my daughter, I'm going to ask you guys to do today. And you know what her answer was to my question, so that you get kind of a prelude to it? She goes, she doesn't know. And my gut feeling is that that will be your answer as well. But it doesn't matter right now. I want you to think about that question, because that question will lead up to, for the men as well as for this group, it will lead you up to a question that says, why is it that I decide the things in my life in this manner? So the title, while it's specifically for the men, it is for everyone. It's called Mentoring Men. And in Titus chapter 2, you don't even have to turn to the scriptures. I hope that John can bring it up there, because I asked JR. It says in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and it says this. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine. I think they were the drunkards, so I don't know. I noticed that it didn't have anything with the men, so the women must have been drinking a lot. But not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husband and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, they set them as an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because of what they have nothing, or because they have nothing bad to say about us. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you today. So as I speak, Father, as I teach, actually, and that's what I want to do. I actually just want to set aside your spirit, set aside myself, let your Holy Spirit talk through me. And so I pray, Father, that right now, that as we think about through this process, that you would just let your word touch the very hearts of everyone in this group. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two things that I learned, and it's very basic. I want you to kind of understand this. I'm hoping that you can put this into your own personal life. I'm reading the Bible differently. And I want you to read it in this same manner. This helped me a lot. There are three things that Scripture does. First, beliefs. Number two, decision. And number three, the outcome. Now, that helps me. You know why? Because I'm in IT. I'm almost input, process, and output. So what we're going to do is beliefs is our inputs, decision is our process, and then the output is the outcome. And we'll see that. The outcome generally means the tendency is we really have nothing to do with it but just to wait on God. And so when we look at this in the scriptures, what are some of the beliefs in Titus chapter 2. Can we turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 1? John, can you bring it up for us? It says there, you, however, must teach. So what does that mean? I just want to break it down real quick. Teaching means, number one, is not something that you teach verbally here. While it is a component of it, it isn't just about teaching what I'm doing, but it's actually living it out. Have you ever heard that before? Don't do as I do, do as I say. Oh, thank you. Can you say that one more time?
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. We often try to emphasize that because we know that in our lives, we can't do it. But he says here, teach it is important. And I love this. It must be done by everyone here. Fathers, you're responsible for doing that. You don't go in and say, I know people do this a lot, and they'll go to the pastor. Pastor, can you help us solve this? And I think that's great. I think sometimes you need some mediator, facilitator to do that. But it is the responsibility of the father to what? To act, to teach it, and to live it, to show it. You got to show it. And I know that with my daughter, here's what she always says. We were talking about something in there, and I will get to that point. But she was saying, Dad, show me, tell me how. Young people, have you ever had to ask your dad the same thing? I don't understand what you're talking about. Can you show me how? Let me ask this simple question. Men, have you ever taught your kids how to do finance? How to handle money? Has any of you ever gone and says, here's how you handle your money. This is a budget. Someday you'll work, and someday you're going to have to pay the bills. Let me show you how. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have actually ever done that? Joey, have you ever taught Josh how to play basketball? Because he's bad. He doesn't want to play. But my question to you is, I tried teaching Rebecca because I wanted her to be a basketball player. I did. So we went to the Lifetime Fitness, and I said to her, okay, get up to this court, go to the free throw line, and shoot the ball. She shot the ball, but it missed about 10 feet. So I said, okay, get closer. So she got closer, she hit the rim. And I had to get her closer and closer, but I had to get her in the right form. Honestly, I failed, so we quit. I knew she wasn't going to be a basketball player. Her birth mom was. And I thought she had that inkling, so I thought I would pursue that. So I did all of the other sports because I'm into sports. I find out later, she's not into it at all. I invested my time to teach her. I didn't tell her, okay, read this book and you'll know how to do it. So go up there and then shoot the ball. No, it was better to do what? To demonstrate, show her the right form and then shoot the ball, because what? They see it by your life. They go in there and they shoot the ball. Finance is one thing, is an area of life. Do you teach your kids, men, do you teach them to do that? Now, the next thing is, not only are you responsible, men, to do this, but number two, I love this part, you must teach sound doctrine. Now, that's a heavy word. Let me rephrase it this way. You must teach them what the Bible says, not your opinion, what your Bible says. See, what happens is we tend to go, men, we try to prove the Bible rather than the Bible on itself stands alone. And then we gather information that says, yes, the Bible is the source of truth. In fact, and you don't have to turn to this, John, but it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says here, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So guess what? Your responsibility as a father is to tell them the truth so that you can cut the words up properly so that they would not feel, and I'm going to ask, really say this word, they will be empowered and confident about what they believe. If you're not doing that, just talked about finance. If you're not doing it and helping your kids to understand finance, how they should buy things, what should they invest on things. If you're not doing that, guess what's going to happen when you die? I guarantee you they're still going to be poor. They will, because they don't understand finance. Similar to God's word. If you aren't dividing, you aren't working, you aren't teaching, you aren't living life in front of them, and you're dividing the word of God, but you're saying, I'm going to get Pastor Ed to help me do this. Yes, do that. But it is incumbent upon you to do that work as well. So that you understand the word of God. It says here that you must teach sound doctrine. Teaching is not preaching. The word here in Titus 2 is not preaching at them, but it's teaching them. And I got to be honest, I'm probably the worst with this in regards to Rebecca. I told her this past month, I want you to take my finance and I want you to pay my bills. All I'm going to do is give you the money. You know our bank accounts. And this is how open I am with her. I opened up all my password, all my accounts. She knows how much my investments are. She knows everything about me. And I told her, now I need you to pay my bills. A week later, I asked her, did you even look at the system? And I know we were busy. She did. Now I'm going to tell her, it's important that you do this. It's important for you to know this, Carl. And it's important for you to know the money. Keith, JC, Leah, you guys need to know this. Because when I was just having this discussion with Rebecca that says, I don't know if I'm ready to be on my own. Yeah, you're not ready to be on your own because you haven't been trained to be on your own. And most parents, if we were honest here as Filipinos, we want to keep our kids at home. We want them to be in our house. And then we transfer Creanne from our house to another house so that she doesn't ever have to be alone. And the funny thing is, who was it? Yeah, my daughter was saying one time, she goes, there was this lady. It's a book that she's been reading. Got married. And when she got married, she looked at cooking. And she tried cooking for the first 2 weeks. She didn't know what to do. And guess what happened? After the second week, this is what the wife says. You're on your own, bud. You cook it for yourself. No training. No formal training. And I know this, men, we need to do this. Did you pass the baton? There are three levels of beliefs, and this I just want to touch upon, and I just want to share with you, and I think I'm not going to be able to finish what the mentoring is, but there are three beliefs, and this is the challenge that I want to work with. When I was taught, it went right into it. The three levels of belief is the first one is taught. What does that mean? It's like anybody coming in and saying, 1 + 1 = 1. It's basically informational. It is something that you assess, you gather, and there's no question about it. You know it because someone taught it for you. Did I say 1 + 1 = 1?
Yeah.
Okay. See, you guys didn't even say anything. 1 + 1 = 2. Number two, the second belief is you caught it. And what that basically means is somebody modeled it for you. Now, Rebecca and I would always ask her, so you said you want to learn how to cook. How many girls want to learn how to cook?
Yeah.
Crayon just wants to eat. I do too. But how many of you guys want to learn how to cook? And so I asked my daughter the same thing. I said, you want to learn how to cook, but what happens? And she tells me, well, mommy doesn't want me to do things. And I see that sometimes. But when she's gone, she does cook, and she does cook really well. But the question is, what do? You learn. Not during when you're married, but before even that. So I asked her another question. I said, so if you want to be on your own, what's the next step? You need to learn how to do finance. Have you ever worked? She goes, no. Oh, well, yes. At Bubble Tea and some other places. I said, okay, what do? She doesn't know how to handle that. And you know what I could sense from her? She's afraid. She's very much afraid of going on her own. Have you ever thought about that, men? Your children? Your children are afraid. They're afraid because, number one, you didn't really train them. You just expected something. Well, I learned it on my own. Why can't they? You never passed the baton. What you did is you threw the baton and let them go on their own. And then probably you kicked the baton so far away from them. And I know I'm talking about baton Christ, but also in our practical everyday life. Have we men given the opportunity to pass that baton, the things that we have learned, the things that we know we possibly have prevented our lives, made our lives right, have we trained our children? The third thing. So the first one is, say it with me, thought. Three minutes. And then you caught. So number one, taught and caught. The last one is bought. This is where the taught and the caught, the taught and the caught comes together. Guess what happens that would make that happen? Generally, it's something painful that happens in your life that will make you believe it. And there are three beliefs that can be modeled. These are the very first two. Let me step back here. The very first two is talking about the mind. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I've seen it done in my life, but the bought piece is what sometimes trumps all of what you know to be true and what you have modeled in your life, because there is something painful that had happened during that lifetime, and that's why you don't believe the Bible. So let me give you an illustration of that, and then we're going to close. You guys are very, the Bible, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How many of you guys can quote that? What is the word? Come on, Leah, what was it? Trust? Stop. Can you put that up for me, John? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The very first belief is to trust in the Lord. Now, your mind is saying, wow, cha-ching, man, I know what you're talking about. No questions asked. I think it's true. There's no problem. I know that it says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it just says, my son, do not forget my teaching. No, that's a little bit more forward. But you know that it says there, trust in the Lord. Okay, so we're going to put that into the belief sign. I told you there's three principles: the belief, the decision, and then the outcome. So the belief here is to trust in the Lord. Now, how many of you really believe that? Now, if we raise our hands, most of us, don't raise your hand, most of us would say, yeah, man, I'm in that camp. There's no doubt about it. I get it. Pastor Lucian, man, you got it. I'm trusting the Lord. The second thing is the decision. What's the decision? To lean not on your own understanding. Honestly, how many of you guys know the stock market? And you make a lot of money. Like, What's his name? Warren Buffett. How many of you guys really are that smart? But in reality, if we men acknowledge it, we're not all that. We're not all that smart. And we don't really understand what's ahead of us. And he says very clearly, he says, lean not to your own understanding. Because why? Because you absolutely are not that smart and you know everything. But guess what? We think we do. And look, he goes on and says, and in your understanding, in all your ways, what? Acknowledge him or submit to him. Now, that's a decision you must make. That's a decision. And what's the outcome? He will make your paths straight. Let me conclude with this illustration. The illustration is this person believes, it's a young woman who really believes that she would trust the Lord with all of her heart, would trust the Lord. And she knows that in her life, she must not what? She must not lean in her own capacity. And that she should submit all of her ways to who? To the Lord. And here's the part that I want you to understand about the bought piece. If this young woman one day gets sexually abused throughout her a painful incident that had happened in her life, she looks back to that word, here's my beliefs, and here is a painful event that had transpired in my life. She was sexually abused by whoever, whatever. She went over here and she looks at this belief and says, trust in the Lord. What do you think? What kind of questions do you think this young woman would be asking? Come on, you guys got to interact. What kind of questions, you women, what kind of questions would you be asking if this sexual thing happened during this certain event in her life? Now, this word, trust in the Lord, this is a belief. What kind of questions would you be asking? Why? Why did this happen? What else? How can I trust him now? Where were you when this was happening, Lord? Why did you let this happen? A painful event brought into her idea that this thing called trust, what I've been taught, is now shaky ground. The decisions not to lean on your own understanding. Okay, I don't know if I can lean on God anymore because this decision, I'm struggling with it to trust and to submit to him because this incident, I can't do it. I got messed up. Somebody messed me up. And now it goes up here, trust. You got to decide, do I follow? So I asked my daughter this question. See, a lot of you guys got beliefs. You've been taught. I believe I've taught. You've been taught the word of God to do. Say, for another example, Jesus, I know that you taught me to give. I know that's what you want me to do. And here's the decision. Lord, be a cheerful giver. And then all of a sudden we come to this place in our lives that says, and I'm going to tell you this another scenario. This man, one of the decision he had asked, he says, because he came from a poor family, do you know what he said? He made a vow. And do you know what that vow was? I will never allow my kids, my family, to be poor and not to have food. And so what happened? This man, it was being asked by this. His wife lost her job. A painful event happened. She lost her job. And now he's in the predicament. He's looking at his vow that he had made and said, I will never allow my kids to be hungry, poor, because I've experienced it. And so he struggles. He's struggling with the word, my belief, trust in the Lord. And that trust, it says, lean not unto thine own understanding and submit. And he is struggling because there's this painful event that is now trumping his beliefs. How many of you guys are going through that scenario right now? How many of you guys are going through that? There's a painful event in my life that whatever I believe right now to trust God, I cannot trust God. There is no way I can trust Him because this painful belief, I cannot let it go. Because even if you ask me, Pastor Lucian, that I have to trust Him, I cannot do it. I guarantee you, all of you in this room are going through that. You're going through it. You believe it. I believe I trust in the Lord. And yes, I believe I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. And yes, I'm going to submit my life to Him. But when it comes down to the reality, something painful, something that you have not let go, is trumping the word trust in the Lord. It is. And the only way, I don't want to leave you with that, as so now what? You kind of left me in a hole. First and foremost, I need you to ask that question. I need you to really dig deep into your heart and say, Lord, what is this painful event in my life that I somehow cannot let go? Because when you ask me to trust you, I cannot let this go. This is so hurtful that I could never let you say, trust, I cannot do that. Only you know that. Only you know that. And that's preventing you from being able to move forward. So that when he says, you know what? And I'm going to just say this. He goes, I'm going to walk you through this pain. And the very first thing he asked of this is, and this is hard, is forgiveness. I was in that meeting at Recharged. Pure black church. Pastor walks up. And his very first statement was, what a beautiful picture of Christ. When these people spoke to the man who killed 9 of their members and they said, we forgive you. And that picture is the beauty of who Christ is, because if you look at this passage, and I wish I could, I'm telling you, I'm still not finished, but the bottom line in this statement, John, can you go to the last verse of chapter, Titus chapter 2, verse 8? I want you to see this. So that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing to say bad about us. Not about us, but about Christ. Now, I guarantee you the media is so confused because they want these guys to fight. They want them to actually instigate racism, but they don't see it. So it's confusing the media because in their mind, they're trying to figure out and drum up all of these issues in life to try to get them, hey man, forget the church. Forget trust God. Forget trusting God. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't submit. This is so painful. Forget all of that. Let it go. Let's fight. But it didn't happen. They saw Christ. Do they see Christ here? Or do they see a lot? Oh, so painful. I can't trust God. Do they see that? Because the beauty of the picture. So they have nothing bad to say about us. But mostly about Christ. They will see the beauty of what true Christianity is about. You Every one of you, all of you here, all of us must learn to forgive. That is the essence of it. See, let me conclude with this. If this painful event trumps all of your beliefs, ask God to give you grace. Give you grace. Because you will never be set free until you learn to forgive. Father, Lord, I just thank you and praise you. Father, as we come before you, Lord, I actually anguish about passing that baton to our young people, to our children. And Father, we know that it truly starts with us as fathers. Father, I don't know, as I think about the question that I just asked, what is this painful event that is transpiring in our lives that we somehow, some way, Lord, we can't let it go. We can't forgive. Father, you said that we have to. You even forgave us. I know that we could talk about it theoretical, meaning in thought. We know that we've been taught that. We know, we accept that, Lord. But when it comes down to the decision, Lord, this event is so painful. There's no possible way. I can't do it. And that's the beauty about it, Lord. We know we can't do it. It's only because you. You're the only reason we could do it. That's why the Spirit is in us that allows us, Father, to have that forgiveness. It isn't anything in us, but if we do it on our own. That's why we say if we lean on our own understanding. And Father, we know, Lord, that will never happen. That's why the Spirit of God has to come out of us. And we thank you for that picture, Father, of the things that you have shown through this church called Emmanuel. And how beautiful that you have shown that truly forgiveness can happen. And Father, their goal is not just to see the forgiveness, but this man who had done this heinous crime of putting 9 people to death that they may see Jesus. Lord, that's what we want. We want people to see Jesus in this group so that they can come out knowing, Father, Jesus has been in this place and people will be drawn to it. Will you help us, Father, to forgive one another? But we know it starts with the fathers. Give us the boldness, even Lord, even if our pride prevents us. Help us to trust you. Help us to lean on you, to submit to you. And Father, whatever the outcome, we know that when we look at the straight path, Father, it may not come out the way we think. But if we have done what we've done, what we have been asked to do, will you, Father, we just thank you. We just bless what they are about to do. So now, Father, we want to lift your name. You have shown to us what mercy, grace, it's all about forgiveness when you sent your son to die on the cross. Let's all stand as we sing.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed.
true. It has nothing to do with us. That's why we're weak. Very clear. That's why we don't lean on our own understanding. Because we're very weak. That's why everything here is about God. It's about Christ. And that question that I ask, what is that painful event in your life that is the reason why you do not trust God? Until you are able to decipher what that is and release yourself from that, you will never ever trust God. You will find it difficult to trust Him. You will wander without Him until you find and close and resolve those issues before Him. The power of His love is the reason why we're here today. Not what we've done. There is nothing that we can possibly do because of His great love. Why don't I close with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to transition it to Emily. So, and then we'll have another service for the Father. So why don't we close? Father, we thank You today that in the midst of all of the confusion and hurt, there is a great story that had been revealed to us, Emmanuel, the church. They demonstrated Christ's true love, of true forgiveness. So we know it can happen. We've seen it. Somebody has modeled it for us as a church. And Father, it's a question now, can it happen again? The answer is absolutely yes. And we thank You. And so I pray, Father, for this group right now, that if there is someone similar to the pain that the Emmanuel Church has just gone through, Father, I pray right now, I'm stretching my arms out to them, Father, You know what it is in their hearts. Some of them are still trying to figure it out. It might be so far, so long ago. Will You bring it back to their remembrance? And Father, that once they are able to do this, I pray that You would give them the spirit of forgiveness, so that we can be released from the bonds that is so heavily weighing us from growing and trusting You. We ask this, Lord, in Your wonderful, precious name. Amen. Sister Emily, you please be seated.
All right. We have a part two. Today is a special day for all our fathers. Amen. All right. Brother John told me to come on the center, so... All right. Before we do any special numbers, we prepared something for the fathers today. But before we do the special numbers, we would like to show you a short video clip of how much we honor our fathers today. Happy Father's Day. So we would like to call on the kids ministry, the children's ministry, to come and be ready for a special, very, very special number from them. They really practiced so hard, and we witnessed it yesterday. So this is not a surprise for us, but then it will be a surprise for all the dads. So Actually, the children's ministry and some of the youth members will be having a special number. Thank you, kids, for having that special number for our dads. But next number, special number from the moms. But we are only represented by one special person. That's going to be Sister Sarah Ward. She's going to have a special number for you. And as Sister Sarah sings, we would like the kids to bring their fathers to the front and give them a special lay, showing them that you honor them, you love them today.
Thank you.
know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. In the midst of refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you're always been faithful. You bring
offering to the fathers. Yay. So today we will have to conclude our program, but it doesn't mean just that today is the only Father's Day. It should be every day is a Father's Day, that we should honor our parents every day, children, right? Okay, so let's go extend our hands to our fathers today as we pray for them. All right. Father God, we just praise you and thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to have fathers in this world, Lord God, for allowing us to experience your fatherly love here on earth, Father. Lord, some of us may not have our biological fathers right now, Lord God, but some of them are represented by the fathers around us, Father, that have shown us love, that has shown us guidance, oh God, as we continue in this life, oh Lord, for the fathers, Lord God, that that are here today, Lord God, we lift them up to you, Lord God. Continue to give them the mind, Lord God, the mind that would give us wisdom, that would impart their wisdom unto their children, oh Father. Continue to give them the heart, Lord God, the heart to love them unconditionally, Father God. And continue to give them the arms, Lord God, that will carry us, Lord God, when we're so down. And the hands, Lord God, that will hold us, Lord God, when we're feeling alone, oh God. And thank you for their feet, Lord God. Continue to guide their feet, Lord God, as they guide our feet also, Father God, especially the children in this church, oh God. Lord, I continue to pray for good health, Lord God, for protection for our fathers, Lord God, as they lead their families, Lord God, as they lead this church, Lord God, towards your kingdom, oh Father. We just pray, Lord God, that you continue to bless them with good health and good life ahead of them, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, yes.
Do I pray for the food?
Huh? All right. We will also pray for the food, but we ask the fathers and everybody else as we prepare, it has to be warm. We have this tradition of kamayan. I don't know if you understand what kamayan is. It's actually using your bare hands in eating. So we're going to ask the father to not use any utensils today. We will be serving the food. Give us about 5-10 minutes to prepare your table, Father. So let's pray for the food, guys. Father God, we just praise you and thank you, Lord God, for your provisions every day. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord God, that we cleanse the food that's in front of us. We thank you.